Blog Talk Radio.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to FDH Lounge mini episode number 628. This is FDH managing partner Rick Morris. We have a very, very special one coming up for you today, talking NFL Week 8. Rick Morris, Kyle Ross, your favorite football talkers in all the land. And we are off to, unfortunately on my part, not a very auspicious start as I inadvertently caused something happen to disconnect Kyle. We do have him back on the line. In the interim, I will tell you, I was 7-7 last week, 0-3 on my big three, 0-1 on my lock pick, 56-47-2 for the year, 11-10 on my big three, 3-4 on my locks. K-Dog, I believe, 2-4 and 21-18 for the year. Still profitable, even with the disappointment last week.
Man.
K-Dog, my apologies for the technical issue there. So glad to have you back
on. Well, are you going to apologize for your math? I had 3-3 down. I don't know where that's
3-3. Okay. All right.
I can go over the ones that I thought I thought I counted. I had New England. The Jets covered. Baltimore
right.
covered. And Kansas City covered, I thought. Those were the
three,
and then I lost.
Baltimore. Okay, I didn't know we were giving you Baltimore. Okay. I had it at 7.5, but that's okay.
Oh, okay. That was 7.5. Are you kidding me? I got that thing at 9.5. I don't know where
that's
the bet at your shop. Yeah.
We were doing this Tuesday. We get these, like, super early in the week lines, and they're not really representative. So, We'll give you that one. That's good. My apologies for all of that. And ready to get going this week on what is an interesting slate. I personally neither love
it nor hate
it.
Ready for a good show, Ricky. I got notes, man. I got everything, you know. I know. And, you know, you can be excused for the technical difficulties. I know tonight's a big night for you with the usual gang of idiots talking about how they could sink this country down the tubes, you know. And you know, there is some irony here. There is some irony here as myself being a non-athlete who enjoys talking about sports, I feel that I am uniquely qualified to point out that Ben Carson, a neurosurgeon, may actually not have a brain. So, I mean, you know, there you go.
he's done brain surgery for 20 hours on his feet, as he has not been shy about pointing out recently. So there is that.
Yeah, well, God bless that guy laying on the table, I'll tell you that much.
I will confess, though, that from his public policy pronouncements, you would never know it. I'll give you that much.
We agree on something early in the program here. Okay.
Well, you know, if it's not Rand Paul, I'm not in favor of him. And Ben Carson is, by definition, not Rand Paul. So there you go. No, he isn't. There's very little chance of mistaking the two physically, one might say. We start with the Thursday night game here. It is the 3-3 Dolphins, suddenly the 3-3 Dolphins, at the 6-0 Patriots, 8:25 Eastern Time, Gillette Stadium in Foxborough on CBS and the NFL Network. Nat Sims-Wolfson on the call. This is a game where New England started off weighing 7.5. They're at 8 right now. This was kind of a tough one. It kind of went back and forth. But, you know, the Dolphins have been trending up in some key areas recently. Finally got the run offense going. Cameron Wake looking pretty good coming off the edge. The Patriot offensive line, a little bit kind of so-so, notwithstanding their great success. And just in terms of general momentum, how about my fish right now? How about Dan Campbell? They're not playing dirty, but they're just right on the edge of that, Kyle Ross. I like them getting the 8 points. This is like a borderline why ask why with them getting so little respect from the odds makers. They will come in here. This is a game the Patriots could dump outright, I think.
Oh, my goodness. We were on opposite sides of this Patriots thing last week, and we are again this week. I got to tell you, please stop me when I am out of turn here. Judging by the conversation in Miami, you know, you might as well just nudge Don Shula out of the record books because here comes Dan Campbell. I mean, look, you know how I don't believe in momentum. And I'm going to tell you what. This Dan Campbell, I mean, hats off to him. He's got a couple wins. But this thing is so artificial. He came in during the bye week. His team then hosted Houston and Tennessee, neither of whom very good, and they won them. Wow. I mean, I don't really think there's sufficient evidence of this tangible turnaround yet on South Beach. I just think that he came in a very opportune time. You get New England at home Thursday night. They've been backdoored the last 2 weeks. I don't think this team is anywhere close to the 2007 team. I think that talk is a little foolish. I brought that up last week. But you said why ask why last week. You said why ask why this week. Well, I'm going to tell you why I'm taking the Patriots here. The Jets are a better team than the Dolphins, and the Dolphins are getting the same amount of respect from the odds makers. That just doesn't make sense to me. I think the Patriots are out for blood this week, and I think they wax Miami. This is the first of five recommendations this week.
Wow, recommendation on a big favorite.
It's very rare that I'll lay a two-score favorite, but I just don't think Miami can keep up here. New England scored 30 or more five straight weeks, and oh, by the way, they have won 21 of their last 22 home games, and the last three times Miami's come to Foxborough, they have lost by double digits every time. So,
man,
I think
just
back to reality for Mr. Dan Campbell, I believe.
I might suggest that perhaps, Kyle, you just haven't been subjected to enough positive motivational manifestos from Dan Campbell. Is it possible that if you set for any of these, you might see things differently?
Well, I guess I need to do the Oklahoma drill a few times, right? That's what he'd probably say. Give me a break.
Probably. Oh, ye of little faith. I think my fish may be back, but we'll see how that one plays out.
Fish may be back. Oh, my goodness gracious. We're going to talk next week, by the way. I think I'm going to invade your house next week, and we'll do a mid-season show, by the way. Like a little planning on air. We'll talk about
that.
Doing
in person.
I think I might invade Casa de Ricky. Look out. And if you really cross me, I'll bring Obama to come take your Bible and guns, too.
he tried to come here to get those anyways, and I used the guns to keep them out.
Yeah, I'm sure he did. I'm sure that was very high on his priority list.
We moved to Sunday morning. I see that we're still giving London the very best of the best here of the NFL, aren't we? And they actually think this is going to spur fanship for an actual legitimate NFL franchise in London, as I shake my head. The 1-6 Lions versus the 2-5 Chiefs. What?
Hold on. I don't think that the whole London franchise thing is feasible. I just don't, at least right now.
Right.
But it has, as much as people scoff at the matchups that we send over there, and first of all, there's absolutely no reason to send a primetime marquee matchup over there. But this has worked, believe it or not. I mean, a lot of people don't want to admit it, but interest in the NFL over in jolly old England has increased tremendously since they've been doing this. So I think we owe them
a Green Bay Denver tilt to make up for a lot of what they've had to sit through.
Why would we
moral
give them
matter.
That? They don't know any. You know. They don't know any better. I'm not going to give them any. If we can give them a bunch of sub 500 teams and they salivate over that, hey. Cleveland Browns,
personally, who knows the difference.
Hey, Cleveland Browns, here you come, okay? Come on now.
Yeah, they're probably overdue. By the way, the two teams that got sent there last week, I neglected to mention the byes, Buffalo and Jacksonville, they're on the bye. Philadelphia and Washington are on the bye. 1-6 Lions, 2-5 Chiefs. The Chiefs, 9:30 Eastern time from Wembley on Fox. Past lounge guest Sam Rosen teaming with John Lynch and the delicious Pam Oliver for the call here. This is a game where Kansas City is laying 5.5 up from the initial 3. That one's just kind of been going up through the course of the week here. Again, neither offense, anything to write home about at this point. I kind of look at a matchup like this, I kind of sort of defer to the trenches a little bit. Detroit has come a long way since the days of having Ndamukong Suh on that defensive front 7 last year. The Chiefs both stop the run better, and right now, with Charkandrick West, of all people, probably have a more reliable running game than the Lions at this point. The Lions are in a little bit of disarray, switching offensive systems at this point,
yes,
as they have shuffled their staff. Give me Kansas City, sort of a run to safety, if you will, here, but I think they're more of a known commodity and less of a tailspin than the Lions right now. It's damning with faint praise, but I'll play Kansas City laying the 5.5.
And, you know, I tried telling you last week that funky things can happen over in, on the other side of the pond, and we saw that with Buffalo essentially handing the game to Jacksonville in the second quarter with a bevy of turnovers. I'm not interested in this one. I'll come out right now and say it. I do agree with what you said about, you know, in the trenches, so to speak. I don't see how Detroit's going to run the ball. But as a guy who cashed Kansas City as a small favorite last week, they were in Arrowhead when they beat the Steelers, oh, by the way, not Wembley, I'd be a little trepidatious to lay this many points with this offense in an unfamiliar setting. This team always bogs down in the red zone. I mean, take it. I mean, I'm a guy, you remember, Ricky, at the start of the season, I endorsed this team as a playoff team. And that's not going to happen properly. Alex Smith, whenever they get inside the 20, it's field goal city. So Detroit's a desperate bunch. Both teams, you know, obviously will have the bye next week. So just too many factors. Again, I tell you all the time, I mean, this is what, the third London game. Haven't played the previous two. Won't play this one.
I don't blame you. It is a little bit more unpredictable, no doubt about it. Up next, you know, you talk about ball movement. That kind of leads us into this next one. 2-4 Tampa Bay at 6-1 Atlanta. 1 o'clock Eastern time at the Georgia Dome in Atlanta on Fox. Justin Kutcher, Charles Davis, Tony Siragusa, the threesome on the call here. Atlanta is laying 7, up from 6.5 initially. One of the things that I was looking at here, and I will credit the stat notes in USA Today Sports Weekly, I like to see if anything jumps out at me week after week. One of the things that kind of jumps out at me is the Falcons have been sort of bend but don't break defensively. They haven't been a great defensive squad, but they've sort of come up big when they've needed it, which is not a surprise because they're still rebuilding that unit. They don't have the talent in place yet, but Dan Quinn is always going to get the most out of what he has. So that's kind of predictable. Tampa Bay has kind of been the inverse. Statistically, they've been a good defense, but they've given up a lot of points relative to that. They've been break but don't bend. I don't exactly know how you accomplish that, but I look for a little bit of regression to the mean here. The Tampa Bay defense, again, they've been better statistically than the number of points they've given up. So I certainly think they can get inside the 7 in this game in Atlanta. And I think they can cover it. Don't really think they can win, but then again, it wouldn't be a shocker. I mean, the Falcons, I think we would both admit, are a relatively soft 6-1, if you can say that about a team that's 6-1. I like Tampa Bay to get under the number.
I feel like I should be right there with you. I feel like I should have been on the Bucs last week. I think I said it on the program that, you know, I think I used that exact term, as a matter of fact. Feels like I should be on the team. They did cover, also blew a 24-0 lead, so it's same old box under Lovie Smith. This was a team at the start of the year, Ricky, as you recall. I thought that a lot of the numbers pointed to the fact that it could be a best-case scenario for them this year. That best-case scenario clearly ain't happening. And when you talk about the total yardage, last week was the second time in three games that they had a substantial edge in total yard, yet lost the game. It was the same thing against Carolina. There were some flukish plays there. Now, when we talk about this, the total yard advantage, and people are like, well, how are they losing? Well, there have been defensive touchdowns. Jameis Winston still has a problem turning the ball over, as you know. And I'm just going to back off here, and I'm going to tell you why. Atlanta at home off a very lethargic performance last week, needless to say, against Tennessee. That was a 10-7 win. That was as ugly a game as you'll see all year in the NFL. Atlanta's 6-0 straight up, not against the number, as a home favorite in the 3.5-7 point range. Tampa Bay, only 5-24 straight up as a dog. So history's not on Tampa Bay's side here as far as the outright win goes. I think they'll hang around the number, but I don't feel confident enough after last week to endorse them here with a recommendation. So,
okay, I understand that. Up next here, speaking of a team that should give anybody queasy, make anybody queasy about making a recommendation on their game, it's the St. Louis Rams. They're 3-3. They're at home against the 2-5 49ers. 1 o'clock Eastern time, the Edward Jones Dome in St. Louis on Fox. Dick Stockton, David Deal, Christina Pink on the call. St. Louis is laying 8 in this one. It was it opened at 8. It was up to 9 at one point. I said last week, and this is utterly predictable in retrospect, the Rams and the Browns are the least cooperative teams in the league in terms of doing what you would expect them to do vis-a-vis the number, and they were playing each other. And
high variance.
My pick would be the Rams. I flipped the coin. I went with the Browns, and of course I got screwed. Now, had I gone with my gut, had I gone with the Rams, then the Browns would have found a way to backdoor it. It just works that way. The Rams are laying 8 points here, and you know, again, I'm going to credit USA Today Sports Weekly. They said it better than I could. This is the type of game that has tripped up the Rams throughout Coach Jeff Fisher's tenure. Exactly. Give me San Francisco getting the 8 points. The Rams are guilty until proven innocent. This is the game they always choke away, notwithstanding what our old friend and STN salesman Joe Lindway, our old colleague from the STN days, likes to say about Jeff Fisher being a top three coach in the league. That's patently ridiculous. I look for the Rams to choke in this game. I'll take the 49ers getting the 8.
Yeah, Joe Lindway, I'll tell you, that's funny. I mean, I think there's some tumbleweed with that sales effort. You're picking up what I'm putting down.
Yeah.
I agree with you. It's hard to trust the Rams in this price range. They were outgained last week, by the way, against Cleveland. That 24-6 final, that was the final score, right, 24-6? A little misleading,
yep.
I thought. Remember, the Rams got the early defensive touchdown. They have only covered a third of the time the last 20 years against the 49ers, going back to the same old sorry-ass Rams period there when they were in Los Angeles, where ironically enough they could be headed back towards.
Mm-hmm.
But the 49ers right now aren't getting a check mark for me. They, by a lot of measures, whether you want to talk about DVOA from Football Outsiders or just good old-fashioned point differential, are the worst team in the league. And I don't see them winning many more games this year. The Rams, again, we'll talk about this next week on a mid-season show. I think they are who we thought they were. They're probably just going to come up just short of the playoffs. There's, you know, which is kind of indicative of Jeff Fisher for most of his coaching career. I mean, what are we, you and I, I mean, you were the one who brought that Lindway comment to an off air to my attention last week, and I looked up the number of 7-9, 8-8 seasons he had, and that's pretty much the bulk of his career. And I think that's where the Rams are. Maybe they could be 9-7, but I'm passing
here.
Thanks
for helping me troll him with Facebook with that information, by the way. I appreciate it.
Oh, no problem. I just think that, you know, a lot of what you said holds some water. The Rams are so Jekyll and Hyde that you don't want to lay this many points with them. I think there may be some other opportunities coming up. Where I may take them, by the way, as I looked at their future schedule, but not here, and not in this price range.
I don't blame you for that. Up next, it's the 4-3 Giants at the 3-4 Saints, 1 o'clock Eastern Time Sunday at the Mercedes-Benz Superdome in New Orleans on Fox. Five-time lounge guest Kenny Albert on the call with Daryl Moose Johnston and the lovely Tambelora Oakman. This game has a 3.5-point spread that the Saints are laying. It's up from 3. Initially, the Saints have had pretty good success against the Giants in recent years. For whatever reason, going back over a period of time, that has been the case. But both offensively and defensively, as
this
I look at
the same old Saints,
here,
though.
Yeah, exactly. I trust the Giants more than I trust the Saints on both sides of the ball at this point in time. Even as we talked about it with the Rams, erratic. We use that word for the Giants, and Eli Manning is the perfect microcosm of the Giants in that regard. So truly anything can happen, but on this show we try to make a prediction on what we think is the best possible outcome as far as likelihood goes. To me, that's the Giants getting under the number. Give me the 3.5 at New Orleans.
Yeah, doesn't it seem like the better team's getting points here?
Yes.
Look, I'm not surprised the Saints are favored. They're at home. I'm not saying the Giants are coming as a road favorite, but, you know, when the number's over 3, that means, you know, the lines makers are saying the Saints are better, and I just don't believe that. Now, playing off what you said with the Giants' erraticism, there's a lot to that. This is an interesting team to evaluate. They have actually held the lead in every game this year. But on the flip side, they've been outgained in all but one game this year. So, I mean, there's been some just wild swings in Giants games, and I've watched a lot of them. Now, as you recall, at the beginning of the year, I picked this team to win the NFC East, and I'm actually sticking with that, believe it or not. And, you know, kind of in order to back up that prediction, this is the kind of game that you'd think they'd win. I do think there's a great chance they win this game outright, but the hook is just great here. I mean, the fact that this moved from 3 to 3.5, I think that's a very, you know, substantial move when you get the hook. New Orleans, we talked about how their home field advantage isn't what it used to be. At one point, they had failed to cover 7 in a row here at the Mercedes-Benz Superdome, and that's before they squeaked by Dallas, who didn't have Romo, and that game was in overtime, if you remember. Very close. And then a couple Thursdays ago, they had that favorable turnover margin against Atlanta. I believe it was like +3. You know, so that game, the final score was a little misleading, I thought, even though I was on New Orleans. Thank you very much. And the Colts last week, they're just not a very good team, so I wouldn't read much into that. Recommendation, second of the week, New York Football Giants.
Yeah, obviously I'm with you on that one. It's not one of my recommendations personally, but I can totally see why you were on them. The next game is one that should make anybody queasy. You talk about teams not doing what they were billed to do at the beginning of the year, the 2-5 Chargers at 6 Ravens. 1 o'clock Eastern Time Sunday, M&T Bank Stadium in Baltimore on CBS. Greg Dumble, Trent Green, Jamie Erdahl on the call. This is one where Baltimore is laying 3 points down from 3.5 initially. And there have been a number of different times this year, whether it be non-recommended plays or in my big three or even on my lock pick, where San Diego has let me down. But I look at these two teams here at this moment in time, who is less deserving of the record that they have. That's going to be my macro for this game here. I'm going to go with this San Diego. You know, it is, I still say at this point in time, they could be a big surprise team in the second half. I think it borders on demagoguery to refer to the San Diego Chargers 2-5. That is demagoguery to attach that to their name. San Diego to cover Sunday. I think this could be the beginning of the turnaround. Give me the Chargers.
Somehow 3-3.
You talk about the better team getting points. It's happening here. San Diego Chargers getting 3. It's not one of my big 3, but I'm on them. I'm on them, buddy.
Ew.
I'm clinging.
This is a big,
clinging to the Chargers.
This is a big, big difference of opinion here for you. I know you're clinging to your guns. You're clinging to your Bible. You're clinging to your Chargers. Ricky, look, man, I think it's time to punt on that prediction. You know, I really do. It's two disappointing teams, you're right. But
yeah.
I could take – but I just evaluate it really just completely differently than you just laid out.
Okay.
The difference here is the Ravens have been an unfortunate and unlucky team. All 6 losses by 8 points or less. They've had to make 4 trips out to the West Coast, including Monday night. And the Chargers, to me, are just plain bad. Their offensive line stinks. Their defense stinks. They've allowed 24 or more points in every game. They are only the 3rd team. I'm stealing this from Bill Barnwell, my God, or whatever you called him a few weeks ago, my Lord and Savior. Only the 3rd team in the last 25 years to allow 24 or more points in each of their first 7 contests. That's bad. The early start time does them no favors here. And you talk about a team that's likely to turn it around. Look, neither of these teams is going to wind up making a playoff. They've dug themselves too big of a hole. But I think Baltimore's the one far more likely to make a second-half turnaround. Why do I say that? Well, 6 of their last 9 games are at home, where they're 51-17 under John Harbaugh. San Diego has no home field advantage. The last 2 games they played at San Diego, you'd think that they were the road team. You had more Raiders than Steelers fans there. I think it's over for San Diego. Baltimore circles the wagons here and gets a big win. You know, I talked about with Giants, Saints, the big move from 3 to 3.5 there, how that's real, you know, kind of makes me like it even more. Same thing here, but reverse, the move from 3.5 to 3, no longer have to worry about the hook. Give me the Ravens, 3rd recommendation of the week.
Ooh, see, I see it as 95% of the luck in the league this year, league-wide, has gone against San Diego. That offensive line has had some injuries.
Baltimore?
They've had some bounces of the ball. What your record says
you
are if you're Baltimore, not if you're San Diego, though.
Oh, my God. Get out of here. Now, don't give me that your record is what you say it is. That's only the 2nd dumbest thing Bill Parcells ever said behind that Jeff Plays comment. San Diego, they've been handled. They were humiliated by Oakland last week. There was the thing. They were down 40-3 at home in the first half. That's not bad luck. That's getting your ass whipped.
Couple of bad bounces of the ball. You know, momentum kind of takes over when bad
things go against
you.
Oh, my God, what are you doing? Who am I talking to here? A Rand Paul support? Oh, wait.
I'm not giving up on them. This week will certainly tell the tale. The other two teams here who are, have any semblance of doing anything in the AFC North, or rather the only two who do at this point, the 6-0 Bengals at the 4-3 Steelers, 1 o'clock Eastern time, Heinz Field in Pittsburgh on CBS. Ian Eagle, Dan Fouts, Evan Washburn on the call. This is a pick'em. It had been Cincinnati laying 2.5 at the outset, but all the action has been kind of going the one way here. And I look at this again, and you and I both find ourselves surprised to find the Bengals at 6-0, although I certainly think they're more of a legitimate contender to go deep than you do at this point.
Coming around.
Okay, well, when you look at games on the schedule that have a chance to trip them up, certainly at Pittsburgh, a game against the Stern divisional foe, quite possibly slash likely Roethlisberger coming back this week, and they've actually played surprisingly well without him. I will take Pittsburgh in this one, not even getting any points.
This is really tricky, this game. This is the hardest call for me all week, because if Roethlisberger does play, the public's knee-jerk reaction is going to be to go on the Steelers, right? And what's interesting about the line move here, as I look, the majority of bets are still on the Bengals here, but the line has moved in Pittsburgh's direction, which signals, of course, that a lot of the bigger money bets have been on the black and gold here, the so-called smart money. So that's always worth pointing out. I'll say this, if the role of favorite and underdog flips here, which it very well may, might be a little value on the Bengals. Teams off a bye week, which they are, 9-1 against the spread this year. Only non-cover was Dallas last week at the Giants, thanks to a kickoff return. So
okay.
Pittsburgh 16, but on the other side, you have Pittsburgh 16-8 against the number when the line 3 or less. And a very impressive 10-2 straight up and against the number when taking on teams. Something on this one. This is, I do agree with you that this is one that Cincinnati could lose when you look at the schedule. And they're not going to lose many this year. They're not. They won't lose more than 4 games this year. Pittsburgh has surprised me a little bit, kind of holding, not just treading water, but winning more than they lost without Big Ben. So I'm just confused here. I'll enjoy watching this game, but I won't have a play on it.
Okay. All right. Up next, it's the 1-5 Titans at the 2-5 Texans. 1 o'clock Eastern Time, NRG Stadium in Houston on CBS with Spiro Dedis and Solomon Wilcots on the call. I have had a tough time finding a line for
that's
this one.
Best,
I
yeah,
probably picked them at one point. What's
no.
the best one?
There is
it's
no
one?
Line. There is
all
no
right,
line.
We'll
literally. Yeah,
all right.
Yeah. Okay. I'm literally. Oh, geez. There you go again. Well, it's funny because keep that in mind when I give my analysis here. But no, they're literally. I mean, I'm looking at 14 different books here, and not one of them have this game posted.
It'd be nice if Vegas didn't screw us in the ass here and would actually give us a line before we do our show. It'd be nice of them to cooperate, but whatever.
Well, I'm looking at undecided next to Tennessee. Undecided meaning the quarterback selection. So that's why.
Yeah. Nevertheless, this is a thing here. All right. Well, this is not even advantageous for me to say pick them because I'm going to take Tennessee. I like to talk about on this show from time to
good
time
for you.
The eye test. Which of these teams looks a little bit less
not good
fugly?
For you.
To me, it's Tennessee. Tennessee looks less like a bottom feeder. I mean, they both are. Let's be honest. They're both bottom feeders. But right now, Houston looks like more of one. There's more chaos there. Tennessee, at least, again, even with Mettenberger in there, it's not a great spot to be in, but it's not like Houston's able to take advantage of it at this point. They grounded out surprisingly well against Atlanta, kept it close. I think they can close on Houston and cover. So I'll take them, not even getting any points here.
Provided Mariota plays and the Titans don't go off as any kind of substantial road favorite, which I don't think they will, they're a recommendation here for me.
Okay.
You hit on it. Houston is just wretched. your boy Ryan Mallett, we hardly knew you. He was, by the way, last in both completion percentage and yards per attempt before he got 86.
Still better than
Brian Hoyer. I don't think he's better than Brian Hoyer. Now, Brian Hoyer's not good, but I don't think he's better than Brian Hoyer. Here's something that cannot be debated, however. The Houston Texans, in three of their six games this year, have trailed by 21 or more points in the first half.
Wow.
Hello. Tennessee has actually outgained the majority of its opponents. I think I might actually, after listening to that fine prose I just laid out, I might even be a little willing to endorse them with Mettenberger, as, you know, they certainly won't venture too far off a pick 'em. I think they might, you know, be laying one or two if Mariota plays. But I could be wrong. But Tennessee, in a game that probably will be a virtual pick 'em anyway, I'll recommend them, Ricky. I'll tell you if something comes up and I want to back off that, I'll tell you, and we can put that on Twitter.
Gotcha.
But, for now, I'll make Tennessee a recommendation.
All righty. Also
number
not
four
up for debate
of the week.
Okay. Number four. Also not up for debate, the fact that we have six games remaining here. One of them is the 4-2 Jets at the 3-3 Raiders, 4 or 5 Eastern time, Oakland Alameda Coliseum in Oakland on CBS. Kevin Harlan, Rich Gannon on the call. Jets are laying 2. It had been 2.5 at the open. It's kind of bounced around a little bit. Again, especially after last week against those Chargers, I have a new respect for these Raiders. The notion of the Jets going out to the West Coast to be a road favorite, I have new respect for the Jets as well, but you know what? Slow your roll a little bit, NFL. I will take Oakland getting the 2 points that they may not even need at home.
I'm impressed with you there, Ricky. The public's all over the Jets in this one. I think this is kind of a sneaky good game of the week. Both teams are improved. I can see the Jets absolutely making the playoffs, and I can, believe it or not, see the Raiders actually contending for a playoff spot with the decline of both the Chiefs and the Chargers in the AFC West. This is a scary spot for the Jets. Letdown factor coming off a New England game, so I'm passing here. They are the only team in the league to have outgained every single opponent, by the way. Still, they actually had the edge in total yards last week in Foxborough, slightly.
Very interesting. You and I have been saying a legit playoff team, and I'm sure we'll be talking more about that next week. Next, it is a battle of two undefeateds. It's the 6-0 Packers at the 6-0 Broncos, 8:30 Eastern time. Sports Authority Field, a mile high in Denver on NBC. Michaels, Collinsworth, Tafoya on the Sunday nighter. Green Bay is laying 2.5 on the road here. It's been kind of a steady number through the course of the week. Green Bay looking for revenge for Super Bowl 32, of course. By the way, I voted for that in the Pantheon as being the best Super Bowl. I really thought it was. But that doesn't have anything to do with this game, the quality of that game there, the work rate of it, as it were. I look at it in this game, Denver, you know, they've had a chance to kind of review some things, kind of go through. I still think, again, we are due to see better performances from them offensively. I think this is going to be a little bit of a bounce back game for Peyton Manning, a statement game. And I think we all trust the Denver defense a lot more than the Green Bay defense. That's not a slam on the Packers. It's just that Denver is very good, maybe the best in the league defensively. Give me Denver in this game, whether it takes the offense or the defense. I like them to get over on their home turf on Sunday night with the 2.5 points.
This is a really tough game. I mean, I figured Green Bay was going to be favored. I figured they'd be favored, and favored they are. What a dichotomy with the Broncos. First in defense in DVOA via Football Outsiders. Last in offense.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. You talk about the Denver defense advantage. Well, Green Bay's got an edge offensively. I'm staying away from this one. Both teams off a bye. Green Bay, believe it or not, should be favored in this game. So I'm staying away. I actually don't have a problem with this line. The public is all over the Broncos, though, which would give me some trepidation if I actually had money on the Packers.
Okay. All right. That gives me pause, but I'm staying with it nonetheless. On Monday night, it's the 3-4 Colts at the 6-0 Panthers, 8:30 Eastern time, Bank of America Stadium in Charlotte on ESPN. Tirico, Gruden, Salters on the call. And in this one, you have Carolina laying 7 points, up from 5.5 initially. Strange new respect kind of coming their way, especially after what they did Sunday night, people believing that Carolina's for real. And, hey, look, I've been bouncing them up in the FDH power rankings here through the course of the season. I get it myself. To a certain extent, I'm looking for a little bit of progression from the mean to the mean from the Broncos offensively, as I said it in the last game. I think a little bit of the same thing here with Indianapolis. When you've got Andrew Luck, when you've got the weapons that are there, there's really no place to go but up. And there's a number that USA Today Sports Weekly had, and I want to thank them for mentioning this. 2-0 when Gore tops 80 rushing yards, and 2-4 when he falls short of that mark, or 1-4 rather. I think he's going to get 80 yards, as good as the Panthers' defense has been. So give me Indianapolis to get underneath the 7.
I got another one for you. Andrew Luck's never lost 3 games in a row.
Okay.
I'm taking the points here. I assume this line's going to cross. This is where you get very frustrated with me and I start making my own rules. But this line will, I'm sure, cross a touchdown by Monday. Public always loving to bet the favorite on Monday night. The Colts may not win this game, but they'll stay within the number. This is my 5th and final recommendation. I'll keep it short and sweet. Let you have time for your big 3 to breathe, so to speak.
Well, they don't need that much time anyways, and I'm sure you would.
Yeah, you're telling me they don't need much time. I know what they are.
Yeah, you know what they are. A week where I'm picking largely dogs, I'm going favorites on the big 3. Spoiler alert. Now, that can't be too
your
much of a surprise.
Your crutch. I wish you'd throw some dogs in that. Remember when you took Washington +9 that one week and it was a wire-to-wire cover? Why don't you do that more often?
Well, you know, if I can find one that's that good. It's hard to find one that's as good as that one was. I certainly know if I took the dog in the next game, it would not be nearly as quality. It's the 5-2 Cardinals at my 2-5 Cleveland Browns, 1 o'clock Sunday at, I'll still call it, Cleveland Browns Stadium on Fox. Here's what's funny. In USA Today Sports Weekly, a little bit of a typo. They just list Chris Cooley, who I assume is the color commentator, and Danielle Trotz, who I assume is working the sideline. So either they're not doing the game with a play-by-play announcer, or it was just unmistakably omitted from there. Regardless of that situation in the booth, Arizona's laying 4.5. It had been 4 initially. It's bounced up to 5 at one point. And again, you know, the Browns always screw me on this. I suppose I'm begging for a backdoor cover by doing this. But, that seems like exactly what's going to happen here. You know,
Yet I do it anyway.
They're going to be down 10 points. It'll be a Hail Mary on the final play to get it to 4.
Yeah.
I can just feel it coming. But nevertheless, it's too ripe of a target. Johnny Clipboard, in all likelihood, in there against this Arizona team that I said at the beginning
That's
of the
bad.
Season would be the NFC champions. Never mind what I said about the AFC. But you got to give me Arizona on this one. I don't care if it's a short week. They're coming here for blood. The Cardinals have something to prove. They are on top of the world right now. Cardinals to steamroll, unfortunately, my Cleveland Browns.
Is your boy Johnny Clipboard going to play here? I thought it was because I had heard that it. Okay, you think? Okay, I thought McCown is tentatively showing, at least on my thing. He is in red, which means that doesn't mean anything, because when he's in red, that doesn't mean that that's necessarily set. So we shall see. I do agree with you that Johnny Manziel against the exotic listing of Arizona is disaster, written all over it.
Yep.
But, Rick Morris, you and the world are predictably on the Cardinals here, and I can make a case that this is just a horrible spot for them. Short week before a bye week, and it's an early East Coast start time. I would not want to be caught laying the points with Arizona here. If it's Manziel starting, the under is worth a look here, because I think he would have a really hard time moving the ball against the Cardinals. But
we do certainly agree about that, no question about it. Up next, another team that I have been willing to take, especially in the favorites spot any number of times this season. It's the Seattle Seahawks. They are laying 6 points, up from 5.5 initially at Dallas. Seahawks 3-4, Cowboys 2-4, 4:25 Eastern Time, AT&T Stadium in Arlington on Fox. Brenneman, Aikman, Schrager in the booth for initially. Again, credit where credit's due. USA Today Sports Weekly, a lot of times I find my own things, but sometimes I go with the things that they find that are convincing to me. 10-1 against backup quarterbacks, the Seahawks, since 2013. This is what they do. It's not that they don't give teams a hard time when it's their starter in there, but these are the feast spots for the Seahawks. I think we started to see it with last Thursday night. They're back. Or at least they're working their way back. Seahawks to cover in this one. I like them in a romp on the road. The Cowboys won't even be close to what they should be until both Romo and Dez are back in there.
Well, there are some rumors that Dez could be back this week, but unfortunately, so will Matt Cassel will also be back this week. And as you and I kind of talked about last week, he's not very good. Jason Garrett's pretty good, though, as an underdog, 22-12 against the spread all time. But I will concede to you that this matchup kind of fits the pattern of what of a Seahawks win. They've beaten the Bears without Cutler this year. They beat the downtrodden Lions. They beat the 49ers last Thursday. And, oh, by the way, they are 10-0 straight up against the division. Seattle's absolutely going to win this game, but I would not want to get caught weighing this number. No siree.
All right. Well, up next, it is my 1,000-star gold-plated lock of the millennium for NFL Week 8. And I was 0-1 on my lock last week, 3-4 on the season, distressingly, 11-10 on my big three. I look for this game to be a big foundational block in the rebuilding process of that. It's the 4-2 Vikings at the 2-4 Bears. 1 o'clock Eastern Time, Soldier Field in Chicago. On Fox, Chris Myers, Rondé Barber, Jennifer Hale on the call. Now, Cast Lounge, you asked Jennifer Hale, by the way. And the line in this one, it is Minnesota weighing 1. It had been 2 initially. You know, you talked before in the Saints-Giants game about the better team is getting points. Let me just go ahead and lump very, very, very short favorites into that. Again, you've been very slow to give respect to the Vikings. And I said before the season, myself and all
still
the fans in
to
the
them.
World, were excellent up-and-coming team. There is a wide, wide girth in terms of the talent level on both sides of the ball between the Vikings and the Bears as of right now. I like the Vikings in this spot. This is almost a why ask why weighing one to the Bears here. You know, and again, home team. Yeah, for a puddle jumper, what's it, 20-minute flight from the Twin Cities? Give me a break with this home team stuff here. Vikings to roll in this game. I don't care about the one.
What's the Vikings road record the last 3 years?
I don't know, but I'm sure you'll tell me.
It's 3-15, and that's including a win last week, oh, by the way.
It's trending my way.
Yeah, it kind of is, actually. As much as I'm not a buyer at all on the Vikings, even if they win this game, I'm still not a buyer. Football Outsiders has them 28th in DVOA, oh, by the way. I mean, look at who they've beaten. It's the Sisters of the Poor they've beaten, Ricky. And by the way, they lost to San Francisco. I am going to wait. Because I am licking my chops at the upcoming schedule with the Vikings. I will wait to play against them at a future date. I will not do it here. Although, again, Chicago's off a bye, and bye week teams are 9-1 against the spread this year. That trend's probably due to come down to earth, though, a little bit as well, and not just because we have two teams off a bye playing each other this week. But we will talk more about Minnesota in next week's midseason show and why I am just really not sold on them being anything more than mediocre.
Well, I have to go devil's advocate on you, Kyle. Minnesota. Oh, they've only beaten Twinkies. Who are they playing this week? The Bears. So why don't you give them the props against the Bears?
I'm not taking the Bears here this week.
Why aren't you on the Vikings?
Because I don't like the Vikings.
You know, you've conceded that the Vikings can dispatch the Little Sisters of the Poor. I think we both put Chicago in that designation.
Okay. Yeah, but I don't like Minnesota enough to endorse them here as a road favorite. I mean, I wouldn't be shocked. I mean, I'm not going to have a heart attack if they cover this game. But you know me, I think there's some factors that that illustrate they're not as good as their record. And Chicago, quite frankly, I mean, I've said it before in this program. Everyone wanted to write them off after about 3 games. But with Jay Cutler in there, they're a competitive team. So and they're rested as well. So we shall see. Minnesota was losing at Detroit last week for a good portion of the first half.
They were. It would have been amusing had you texted me mid-game to point that out. But regardless, they are my lock pick for this week. I have Arizona and Seattle as the other plays in my big three. You are playing Baltimore, New England, the Giants, Indianapolis, Tennessee, and is there anyone else, or did I get them all?
Nope, those are the 5.
All right, those are the five. All right, we will see how it all plays out. Should be another great week of action. And apparently next week you and I will be recording in person and talking some midseason NFL while we're at it. So
yes,
I look forward to that, as always. Kyle Ross. That will be tremendous. I thank you again for another great one, my friend, and thank you all, everybody, for tuning in to this mini episode of the FBH Lounge.